This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Tuesday, June 16th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Fertilizer prices drop on news of a peace deal. Soy crushers expected to go strong, and gene editing reg advances in the EU. Price indicators for key farm inputs tumbled yesterday following news of the U.S.-Iran preliminary peace deal. The value of urea in New Orleans, a benchmark for North American nitrogen fertilizer, fell about 5% from Friday, or roughly $20, according to Josh Linville, vice president of fertilizer for Stone X. That marks 53% drop from a high earlier this spring, he said. But slumping corn prices below $5 a bushel offsetting the benefit of lower urea prices for farmers. Potash prices that otherwise would seem well valued also look poor due to lower grain values. On the brighter side, oil prices dropped nearly 5% yesterday to multi-month lows. President Donald Trump has indicated full ship traffic would resume in the Strait of Hormuz on Friday after effectively being closed off to the U.S. for 16 weeks. The deal opens a 60-day window of negotiations between the U.S. and Iran. Vice President J.D. Vance, when asked by CNBC if he expects the Strait of Hormuz to stay open beyond the 60 days, said, quote, "Our expectation is that the Strait is going to be open in a toll-free way for the long term, and that's the sort of thing that we're going to figure out in these technical negotiations." Almost 600 vessels remain stuck in the Persian Gulf waiting to go through the Strait, hundreds more idling on the other side. Investment analyst Rick Ashland notes for Bar Chart, citing the global trade and analytics firm Kilper. The latest U.S. soybean crush data signals robust oilseed processing for the June to August quarter, according to Arlen Suderman, chief of commodity economists for Stone Edge Group. The National Oilseed Processors Association yesterday reported soy crush for May at 208.8 million bushels, down from last month and below the average analyst estimate, Suderman said. The lower figure goes against the expectations that strong crush profit margins propelled by favorable U.S. biofuel policy would cause companies to forego typical spring maintenance and instead, quote, push the envelope and keep going, according to Suderman. Instead, crushers took the required time to do it right to be properly positioned to go strong through the fourth quarter of the marketing year, he said. They'll likely try to push capacity to make up for some of that time going forward, with crush incentives remaining strong this summer. The Environment Committee of the European Parliament has advanced a new regulation for plants creating using gene editing. The committee quickly adopted the regulation yesterday, setting the stage for a full vote by the parliament coming tomorrow. The vote was 56-32. European Commission's Commissioner for Health and Animal Welfare called the vote, quote, an important step for farmers, growers, and food security. We are modernizing EU rules on seeds and plant material while keeping quality and trust at the center. That the word of Oliver Verhaeghe in a post on X. Opposition remains, including from the organic sector on the continent, but supporters expect the regulation to receive approval coming this week. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Located in Washington, D.C., Watkinson Miller has been providing legal services to the agriculture industry for more than 30 years. The attorneys at Watkinson Miller possess a unique combination of knowledge, skills, and experience working with commodity boards and their partner organizations and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Watkinson Miller is proud to serve the agriculture community by delivering top quality legal services that achieve cost effective results.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. American families would have greater access to juice through federal aid programs under two new bipartisan bills. The legislation from the House Agriculture Committee's Chairman Glenn G.T. Thompson and Representative Darren Soto of Florida would boost juice availability in the Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children, or WIC. Data shows most Americans are not meeting their daily recommendations for fruit or vegetable intake, Juice Products Association President Jeannie Maliski said in a statement. As a healthful source of hydration, juice is one cost-effective way to help families meet these recommendations. The Juice for Healthy Families Act would raise the maximum monthly juice allowance under WIC to 128 ounces, more aligned with previous juice allowances following USDA's reduction in 2024. The Juice Access Improvement Act would give WIC participants juice automatically unless they opt out and choose the $3 cash value benefit instead. USDA's Food and Nutrition Administration is making $5 million available in grants for states to combat fraud in the SNAP program. That, according to an announcement yesterday, that is, USDA continues to go after fraud in the program. The issue of fraud has been a point of contention on the Hill, especially during the June 4th House Agriculture Oversight hearing with Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins. Ranking Member Angie Craig of Minnesota said that Rollins was conflating state error rates, which are over or under payments, with fraud rates. Rollins argued in the hearing that USDA cannot verify the data because individual states report their fraud rates. During the June 10th Senate Agriculture Oversight hearing, Rollins said USDA had pursued over 120 convictions and made $132 million in restitution in the past year over the SNAP fraud. The application deadline for grants is July 17. Six North Carolina lawmakers are calling for tobacco farmers to be included in any upcoming disaster aid packages, pointing to rising production costs, reduced commodity prices, weakened export markets, and drought the industry has faced in recent years. In a letter to House and Senate appropriation leaders, the lawmakers call for any disaster or supplemental agriculture relief under consideration to include payments for tobacco producers and for eligibility criteria that to account for, quote, the full scope of losses they face. In the letter, the lawmakers point to a North Carolina State University analysis that found production costs for tobacco farmers rose 40% from 2021 to 25, a rate they say is two-thirds higher than the national agricultural average. The lawmakers include Representative Don Davis, Representative David Rouser, Gregory Murphy, Pat Harrigan, and Tim Moore, and Senator Tom Tillis. Here's today's final word. We need to get more young people out there and get them interested. At Colorado State University animal scientist Temple Grandin calling for more efforts to get younger generations involved in agriculture. Grandin noted in an interview with AgriPulse that she herself did not come from an agriculture background, but acquired an interest in beef cattle when visiting her aunt's ranch as a teenager. Well, that's Daybreak for this Tuesday, June 16th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Nally.